God for the good singing today. Thank God for the opportunity to be in God's house. You have your Bible open to Romans chapter number 4. We're going to continue our study in Romans 4. Now, when we began, we were talking about the condemnation dealing with sin. And I'll go back. We're going to kind of do a little bit of review to get us to chapter 4. Chapter 4 begins a new section. Chapter 4 begins, it kind of changes from condemnation to justification, from sin to salvation. So it goes from condemnation dealing with sin. God deals with sin. That's right. And you would be wise to allow God to deal with your sin instead of you having to pay the price for your sin. God deals with sin. Condemnation dealing with sin. And then there's justification dealing with salvation. How can God look on sinful man and declare him righteous? Well, that's what the apostle wants to answer here for us. So before we get into this, I'm going to go back a little bit and we're going to track right up to chapter 4. But before we do, I want to do a couple of things. The first thing I want to do is I want to give you a little bit of an overview of chapter 4. We're going to get in those first few verses today, but in the couple of weeks to come, the Lord willing, as we continue our study right through the book of Romans, I want to give you a little overview of chapter 4. Chapter 4, if you'll notice, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" We're going to answer that question today. And so in order to answer that question, what the Apostle Paul does under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he does this. He says, I want to tell you about three individuals. He said, I want to tell you first of all about Abraham. And he said, Abraham discovered something. Now, what do you mean? Notice what he said. What shall we say? Verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father? Now, there's a comma there. There's an inserted phrase that says, as pertaining to the flesh. In other words, Abraham to the Jew, according to the flesh, was their father. And so basically what he's saying here is, what did Abraham find? Look what he said. What shall we say then that Abraham our father hath found? What did Abraham find? Abraham found God's grace. Amen, that's what Abraham found. Abraham, he found out that if you will believe God, now listen to me, if you will believe God, God will save you by His grace. If you will take God at His word, God will save you by His grace. And that's what he says here. What did Abraham find? So I want you to think about this. Grace discovered. Abraham discovered God's grace. Law can't save you by the deeds of the law. As a matter of fact, he says in the latter part of chapter number 3, go back there just for a moment, look at verse 28 of chapter 3. There are those that may say, well, you know what? I'm going to try to just do good, and I'm going to go to heaven, and my sin's going to be forgiven if I keep the Ten Commandments. Now, you ought to keep the Ten Commandments. Somebody say amen with me. But listen, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's not. One reason is because if you could get to heaven by doing good works, Jesus dying on the cross would be in vain. Yeah. But a more important reason is you can't. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. You say, well, what if I just break one of them? Well, the Ten Commandments are kind of like a chain. That one you broke is the weakest link. And when you break the link of a chain, the chain is inoperable. And James said, if you broke one, you're guilty of breaking them all. Somebody say amen with it. That's what the Bible says now. And so look at verse 28 of chapter 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You cannot keep the deeds of the law and say, well, I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. No, you're not. The law can't get you to heaven. The law can get you to a place to where you can realize you need grace, and if you will accept that grace by faith, well, now you can get to heaven. So he said this. He said, number one, grace was discovered. But then he says in verse number 6, he's going to tell us about another character. These are two of my favorite Old Testament Bible characters, by the way. Abraham discovered grace. Notice what he said about David. You know about King David. David described grace. Look what he said in verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Now watch this next phrase. Without works. You can't work your way to heaven. Right? That's right. So he said, Abraham discovered grace. David is going to describe grace. And he did in Psalm 32. And we'll get to that when we get to that section. But then you get down to verse number 16. And Paul said, let me tell you what Paul has to say about this. What have I found? He said, I told you about what Abraham found. Abraham discovered grace. And he said, David, in verse number 6, he described grace. He said, but I am going to declare it to you. I am going to disclose to you the grace of God. Look what he said in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You see that? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. That's the way you get saved. Amen. Say, now, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, I realize we live in an age where the only sin is saying that sin is a sin. But I'm going to tell you now, God does not take lightly to sin. Now, man may take lightly to sin, but God doesn't take lightly to sin. And God judges sin. That's right. And God, listen, He will judge your sin, and He will judge my sin. But I had rather that the judgment of sin that Christ died for, my sin, I would rather Christ suffer God's judgment for my sin than me to suffer the judgment of my sin. And we have a choice to make. And so this is what Paul's going to talk about. What is he talking about? He said, I want to talk to you about grace, but now look, if you would, in chapter 5, in verse number 1. Therefore, because of this grace, being justified by faith. You see how he moves into justification. We are justified by faith by the grace of God. Brethren, I cannot overemphasize this. There's not a one of us good enough to go to heaven in ourselves. As a pastor, I hear this all the time. I hear it all the time. People say, well, you know, and folks down at the church, and they could be talking about this church, that church, another church, every church. Them folks down there at the church, they're no better than I am. Well, you're right. Right? You're right. We're just better off than you are if we're saved and you're not. Doesn't make us better because we're all sinners. And this is what the Apostle Paul wanted to show. So I want you to follow me very carefully. Just in the event there's someone here today that would say, now, preacher, they've all sinned, but I'm okay. No, you're not. I want you to know this. So please, listen, I hope that red flags will fly in your eyes and that warning alarms will go off in your ears and the voice of the Holy Ghost of God will ring in your heart to let you know, except you get born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. It's important. Now, I know man's made light of it, but as I've already said, God doesn't take it lightly. God doesn't take it lightly. God paid the penalty for our sin by sending His only begotten Son to die in our place. Now, let's talk about this. I want you to go back with me to chapter number 1. In chapter 1, and I'm going to review for about 10 minutes, so I want you to follow as we go through this. Paul said, I've got some good news for you. And he said, this news is so good. Look what he said in verse number 14. I'm sorry. He said, I'm a debtor to tell it. Right? He said, I'm a debtor to tell this good news. He said, I know this good news. I know what Christ has done. I've experienced this grace. I've been justified by this faith. I know this good news. And I'm a debtor to tell it to others. So are you if you're saved. Amen. We're all debtors, brethren. We're debtors. And so he said, I want to tell you that I have an obligation. I'm a debtor. By the way, as Christians, not just preachers now, listen to me. I know what the voice of the world says. Well, the preachers ought to be sharing the good news. You got that right. Every Christian ought to be sharing the good news, though. Let me say that again. Every Christian. Listen, if the good news has made its way into your heart and you have accepted it by faith, you need to be sharing it with others. Share the good news. I am a debtor, Paul said. This news is so good, I'm a debtor to share it with others. And then he said this, look in verse number 15. He said, not only I am debtor, he said in verse number 15, I am ready. You see that? So as much as in me is, I am ready. I told you there's a fire in that word. Listen, there's passion here. He said, I'm ready. He said, not only do I have an obligation, I have opportunity. I'm ready to share this good news with people. What in the world has gotten into believers to where we won't share the good news anymore? It's still the good news, brethren. You say, now, preacher, I shared it with some folks and they didn't want to hear it. Can I tell you there's some folks out there that want to hear it? But whether folks want to hear it or not, everybody needs to hear it. Yeah. And so he said, I am debtor. I am ready. Look at verse number 16. He said, I am not ashamed. He said, I'm not ashamed of this good news. Well, I tell you, the old devil will try to make you ashamed of the gospel. Now, I want you to look at the preacher for a moment. It's not our Father. Listen to me carefully now. It's not our Father who's a liar. It's not our Father who's a murderer. I'm talking about the devil. The devil's not my Father. That's right. It's not our Father that's a liar and a murderer, a cheat, a scoundrel. Right? Our Father is a God of goodness and of grace and of mercy. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, the Bible says. So you don't have to hold your head down low when you go around telling folks you're a Christian. Now, don't look down your nose at them like you're better than they are, but you can hold your head up. Your Father is a good man. He's the God of eternity, amen. From everlasting to everlasting, your Heavenly Father is God, amen. So you don't have to hold your head down like God's done something wrong. God's done nothing in all the history of mankind, but try to help man out. So don't let the devil and the devil's crowd now try to make you hold your head down low like your Father. You ought to be ashamed of your Father. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. And you don't have to be ashamed either. Now, he said, I'm ready to get this good news out. He said, but before I do, I've got to tell you the bad news. Remember what I told you a couple weeks ago? We took a little break last week because we talked about baptism. I'm glad for those who got baptized. What a red letter day in one's life when they follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But week four last, when we talked about this, if you'll recall, I said that good news is made even better when it's put up against the backdrop of bad news. Remember that? So you go to the airport and they say, your plane's leaving at 3. You say, okay, that's good news, leaving at 3. And then they come over to the intercom about, 2:30, or they put it on the, they flash it across the rolling board there and they say, flight such and such, which so happens to be your flight, is delayed for 2 hours. Not going to leave at 5. That's bad news, especially if you have somewhere to be. And then about 10 to 3, they say, okay, we're going to board your flight. The delay's been canceled, and we're still going to depart at 3 o'clock. See, you're still going to depart at the same time, but how much better is that good news now? Man, we're leaving at 3 o'clock. Hey, man, see, 3 o'clock was just your normal departure time until they said 5, and now they come back with 3. Can I tell you what Paul's getting ready to do here, and I don't want you to miss this. He said, I'm going to tell you some good news. The good news is, though you cannot keep the law, that God has sent His only begotten Son to die in your place, and He was buried. He was delivered up for our offenses, Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You see that? He says, so I want to tell you about sin. I want to tell you some bad news that makes the good news better. He said, Jesus died for you. You say, well, that's good, but you know what? There's a lot of people who don't realize something. What don't they realize? Are you in Romans 1? Look at verse 18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's some bad news right there now. That's bad news. The wrath of God. See, you can't really adequately define God until you've added His wrath and His love together. God is a God of love, but God is a God of righteousness. And because He is righteousness, He hates sin. And because He hates sin, He is going to execute wrath against sin. And so the Apostle Paul said, I've got to tell you the bad news. He said, there's a reason I feel like I'm a debtor. And there's a reason that I'm ready. And there's a reason I'm not ashamed. And he says, so I want to tell you a little bit about sin. So I want you to follow with me a little bit, okay? So he said this. He said, in verse 18, he said, these folks that are ungodly and unrighteousness, mankind, look at what he said in the latter part of verse 18. Are you there? Chapter 1, verse 18. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. See that word hold? It means suppress. They just hold it down. Now listen carefully now. What they're saying is, I don't care what God said. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's the way of man. You say, oh, no, preacher, I've never lived that way. Now, come on now. You sure? You sure you haven't known the right way to do something and you just willfully went right against it and done what you wanted to do anyway? And so he said here, he said, God has given man two things to reveal himself. I want you to notice some things. Let's read verse 19 and 20 and 21. And I'm just going to point out a few things here that God has done for us, okay? Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest. Aren't you glad God did that? Now, God didn't have to manifest some things to us, but he did. You following me now? God has manifested some things to us. And then he said this. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That's speaking of our conscience. Every man has a conscience. Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he said, watch it, follow along with me. For God has showed it unto them. Not only does man have something on the inside called conscience, but God has showed us some things on the outside. That's called creation. Right? You with me? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. Amen. He said in verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So see, God speaks to man. God has showed himself and God is letting man know there is a God. There's a God. And God wants to, as your creator, wants to have a personal relationship with you. You are here for a purpose. And this is what a lot of people miss. You say, preacher, I can remember a time in my life, and I can in my own life, when life just seemed so purposelessly. No purpose. No goal. No aim. No fulfillment. And then Jesus saved my soul. I found pardon that day, but can I tell you, I also found purpose. I hope you know something about purpose. Purpose is the most fulfilling thing you'll ever have in this life. God's purpose for your life. What is God's purpose for your life? Folks, we've quit teaching our children this. We've quit living this. Everyone is here for a purpose. Know your purpose. You'll never be fulfilled until you know and began to carry out your purpose in life. Please listen to me. There's a God in heaven who has you here for a purpose. See, when God saved me, I got saved October the 26th, 1980. God could have took me to heaven right then. You listening? When you got saved, when did you get saved? Think about it in your mind right now. You say, well, I can't call the date. Well, you just flashed in your mind where you were when that happened. Where were you when God saved you? You say, well, I know the date. When was that? Now, if God didn't have something for you to do when he saved you, he'd have took you right on to heaven. At the very least, God left you here to be a debtor so you could tell some other people. Because somebody told you. Amen. Listen to me now. God left you here. God left me here to tell other people about him. To tell other people the good news. But God has some things he wants us to do. There's just some things in life that God has for me to do. I can't preach like other people, but God wants me to preach the way that he's called me to preach. You can't do some things like other people, but whatever God's called you to do, God wants you to do it. I don't know what that is. Some of you, you work with welding and you do great with iron. Some of you, you do well with electrical work. Some of you do well with carpentry work. Some of you do well with, there's just different things that God purposes people to do. And God wants you to fulfill your purpose. You'll find joy. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find ultimate satisfaction in doing what God has purposed you to do. The Apostle Paul said right here, he said, God let you know about that. And God wants you to see that. He said, but now, he said, there's something that happened when God did that. Notice in verse number 21, he said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I think we're seeing that in our day. You see, if you'll go back to verse 18 when it says that they hold the truth in unrighteousness, you see that in the latter part of verse 18? They suppress it down, they hold it back, they don't want it to, they just don't want to acknowledge it. They it's like holding it back. We don't want to hear that. Don't tell us there's a God. I don't want to be responsible to God. I don't want to accept that I have responsibility and that I am accountable. I don't want to accept that. And so they hold it back and they suppress it. They bury it and they try to hide it. And they say, therefore, I can just do what I want to do, and whatever's right in my eyes, I'll do it, and I'll answer to no one. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day. And so he said that they didn't want that. That's what verse 21 says. And their foolish heart was darkened. Well, I tell you, we have a lot of dark hearts in our society today, don't we, folks? Amen. Dark. Dark was our heart when Jesus found us. And it says in verse number 22, see if this doesn't sound right up to modern day. A writing that was written nearly 2,000 years ago, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You can't even have a conversation with someone today without them interrupting you saying, I know. You know everything, don't you? You sure are in a lot of trouble to know so much. You sure have got a lot of things backwards to know so much. Right? That's pride. And the apostle said that this sin will creep into our lives. And he said, first of all, there'll be indifference. You see that in verse number 21? I couldn't define indifference any better than Paul did in verse number 21. He said, they glorified him not as God. They were unthankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They were indifferent toward God. Then what happened? They became ignorant of God. They professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. You know what indifference that leads to ignorance leads to? Look at the next verse, verse 23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image, like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What's happening here? They exchanged some things. Idolatry. See, indifference always leads to ignorance, which always leads to idolatry. Because you leave God out, and now man is left to his own devices. And so now sin is going to run rampant in society. And that's exactly what Paul does here. He said, watch what happens in verse number 24. Wherefore? Because man said, we don't want to acknowledge God. We don't want God's truth. We don't want to hear from God. We don't want to hear about God. Just leave us alone. Right? You ever heard that? Just leave us alone. You say, preacher, what do you do when people tell you to leave them alone? Well, sometimes I leave them alone. Brother Brian's up here laughing. I didn't say all the time. Sometimes I leave them alone for a little while. But then I go back. Because I don't think you ever want somebody that's trying to help you to really leave you alone. That's like asking a woman sometimes, what's wrong? Nothing. If you believe that, sir, you need to see me for counseling. But just to be fair, when a woman asks a man, how long has this game got? 2 more minutes, honey. If you believe that, ma'am, you also need to see me for counseling. Amen. Just a couple of more minutes. And she looks and she believes you because she sees on the clock. They're showing the game clock on TV. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 20 minutes later. This the same game? Hey, notice what happens here. And I've got to hasten. Wherefore God also gave them up. Oh, man. That's the worst thing God could ever do to anyone or any society. I pray to God he never gives up on me. I pray to God he never gives up on you. God, I pray that God would never give up on America. America has cursed God. America has shook her fist in the face of God and said, God, we don't want anything to do with you. God, please don't leave us to ourselves. God, don't leave us to our own devices. Folks don't really mean that when they say it. God, have mercy on us. Don't leave us to ourselves. God, please. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to your life, my life, or anyone's life, is for God to leave you alone. If God ever leaves you to your own devices, you're in a much, much more terrible fix than you realize. By the way, I have to do this. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Mark chapter number 1. Go to the Gospel of Mark. And I have to do this because I want to show you, brother, this is something that's happening in our day. People are saying, I want God and I want that church down there. Now listen to me. I want God and I want that church down there that preaches the Bible. I want you Christians. Why don't you just leave us alone? No, sir, that's not really what you want. There's an influence behind that telling you that's what you want, but that's not really what you want. Because if you get that, you're going to be in a much greater fix than what you realize. You don't want me to leave you alone. You might think you do, but you definitely don't want God to leave you alone. If you look in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21 of Mark chapter 1, notice it there now. Some time ago in my personal reading, as I was studying through the book of Mark, I ran into this and it just really jumped out at me. Jesus enters the synagogue in verse number 21, and he goes there and he teaches, and they were astonished in verse number 22 at his teaching. Verse number 23, there was a man. You see it there? I'm in Mark chapter 1, in verse number 23. There was a man there in the synagogue, and he had an unclean spirit. And he cried out. Look at what he said in verse number 24 to Jesus. Let us alone. Just leave us alone. You see, that mindset. Now hear me now. That spirit, that mindset comes from the devil. I wish that church down there just leave us alone. Always trying to give me a pamphlet and always trying to invite me to church and always trying to get me to this and that. And if I get ready for God, I'll call on God. Why don't you just leave me alone? And then I've heard others say, I just want God to leave me alone. No, you don't either. No, you don't either. I want to tell you something. You think your life is upside down, topsy-turvy now. If God ever leaves you alone, you don't know what darkness and misery is if the light of all eternity leaves you alone, my friend. You don't know. You're asking something that you don't really know what you're asking. It's driven by Satan himself. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Seems to be the cry. Well, if you could turn back to Romans, we see that there is a time when God will leave you alone. And God will turn you over. And so please, I'm asking you. I plead with you. Don't you ever... If you find yourself in this place right here, you pray, God, help me. I don't know what I'm saying. I really don't mean this. I need some light in my life. I need something to change. I don't like the way I feel right now. I'm feeling like I want you to leave me alone. And God, I know I don't need you to leave me alone. The Bible says God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And they changed the truth in verse 25 of Romans 1 into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. You know what they began to do? You ready? You ready? You know what happens when God gives people up? Their men want to become women. And their women want to become men. And women want to be with women and men want to be with men. And people think it's my body, it's my choice. If I want to sleep with 6, 8 men and still be married, I'll do what I want to do with my body. You don't tell me what to do with my body. See, that's what happens when God gives you over. That's why our society is in the dark mess it's in. Oh, now, preacher, I wouldn't preach that. Well, I'm going to. You say, you must hate sinners. No, I hate sin. I love sinners. I've spent the last 35 years of my life in ministry trying to help sinners. Amen. And I'll continue to do it by the grace of God. Amen. But I want you to know something now. This stuff is twisted and perverted. Not because the preacher said so. Not even because your parents told you so. But because God said so. And let God be true and every man a liar. Now, I don't agree with that. God didn't call you and ask you if you agreed with it or not before he wrote this down. You think God's going to check with me before he writes something in this book? God doesn't check with us before he moves. Say amen, folks. We've got this thing all mixed up. And the Bible says right here, notice it now, verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. See, God said it again. In verse 24, God gave them up. And in verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. There's something about this thing with women here. Look in verse number 27. He's talking about the men, but he said they leave the natural use of the woman too. He said the women, they changed the natural use. Look at it now. Look at it. Verse 26. The women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And he said the men leaving the natural use of the woman. What's the natural use of a woman? I want everybody to look right up here at the preacher now. If we don't get any further, I want you to leave here knowing this. Sometimes folks can't see beyond their nose. And they think, I know about that man down there. I know about that preacher. He don't like women. Oh, you don't know me well. You see that lady right over there? She's the greatest thing ever happened to me outside of Jesus. She's the queen of my life. I've got two daughters. They're the queens. They're the little queens of my life. I love ladies. Can I tell you something? Ladies are the crown jewel of God's creation. Anybody that would disrespect a woman doesn't have my respect. Say amen, man. I mean anyone. You disrespect a woman, you're kind of low. You need to treat a woman with dignity. Amen. Because God made a woman with a special use, and it was to help you, sir. It was to help me. Do you see what's being taught here? God never intended a woman to be with a woman. Because that's not why God made a woman. That's not the natural use of a woman. When God looked down from heaven, he seen that man was alone. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, I think I'm going to make him a helpmeet.
Amen.
God made a woman to complete you, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God made a woman to make you whole, to complete you. And when a woman don't get with a man, she's not only messing with that man's completion, she's messing with hers. And Paul said it's wrong. God said it's wrong. Amen. Oh, now, preacher, you sure walking a fine line? Oh, listen, this is nothing. I'm just telling you what God says. Well, I know about the preacher now. He hates sodomites. You do. I've won them to Jesus. You don't know about me. Amen? It's amazing how folks think they know stuff and don't know. How many of you witnessed to? How many folks all mixed up and twisted and turned and confused, told God to leave them alone, he did, and they got their life in a shamble and a mess? How many of you going out trying to rescue? Right? Be careful now. Be careful. Just because you call it like you see it doesn't mean you don't care. Matter of fact, I have found out in my life those who call it like they see it care most. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Truth's good for us. Well, I got to hurry on. But you see here, the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's unnatural for a woman to be with a woman. It is unnatural. Look at it, verse 27. For a man to be with a man. Look what it said. And likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman. I don't understand why a man won't do that. But I know there's a devil. I know there's an enemy. And I know he's saying, leave us alone. Let us be with who we want to be with. Leave us alone. God said, no, I'm trying to keep you from hurting yourself. I'm trying to keep you from messing up. Just to be fair, let someone leave here today and say, well, I tell you right now, the pastor today said this and this and that. Well, adultery is sin too. It's wrong for a man to be with a man, but it's wrong for a man to be with two women too. Somebody say amen with me real loud right there. Amen. Amen. Paul said, I want to tell you about sin. He said, sin will destroy your life. Brother, I'm here to tell you, sin will destroy your life. Sin will destroy your life. And he said right here, he said, God, in verse number 24, gave them up. In verse number 26, God gave them up. Right in the middle of verse 28, he said, even, look at verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He gave them over to a mind that said, what I'm doing is right. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what God says. What I'm doing is right. No, it's not. That's what a reprobate mind says. A reprobate mind says, what I say is right. No, what God says is right. And if what you say lines up with what God says, now you're right. Sin. Sin. Well, it's got to be dealt with. You go through, and the scripture says, and because of time, we're going to have to go right to chapter 4. I want you to read now. I want you to read right in there. Oh, my. We're going to revisit this again. Because when you read that section of scripture, it deals with some stuff. I mean, it does. It deals with violence. I told you to go to chapter 4, but I've got to show you something, okay? Hold your place here. We'll come back to chapter 4. Go back to chapter 1 just for a moment to verse 32. Verse 29 says that when people say, God, leave me alone, and when people leave God out, hey, by the way, please hear me now. My heart is burdened. Our country is living this. Our world is right here right now. Where folks, look at verse 29, folks are filled with all unrighteousness. Look at it. Fornication. You know what that word? That word is pornea. It's where we get our word pornography. Folks are eat up with it. Listen to me now. It's on their computers. It's on their cell phone. It's on their television. They're eat up with it. Our country is eat up with it. And some of the folks that get real upset at the preacher for calling out the way a lady ought to live and a man ought to live, well, the same folks will go home and watch people expose these women and listen, just treat them like animals and eventually just take their life in death. Hypocrites. Fornication. Wickedness. Look at it, verse 29. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable and unmerciful. My goodness. Does this sound like our country? We have built our homes, barricaded ourselves in it, and the thieves and the thugs of the world are roaming the streets looking at what they can take that they didn't buy. Right? We're afraid for our wives and our daughters to be out after sundown. In America! In America! On your street! My street! My neighborhood! Your neighborhood! This is real, brethren! Because the darkness has slowly crept in. You can't even, ladies can't even pull up at a common filling station, that's what we used to call them, they're convenience stores now, to get gas without having to look all around them and just worrying. Some thug's going to jump out behind the car and kidnap them and take them away. In your town, in my town. This is reality. What does that? Sin. Sin does it. It's real. See, God hates sin. What's your view on sin? It's easy to hate someone else's sin. Isn't it? Come on, folks. It's easy to hate other people's sin. But now notice what he said here in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, God's going to judge sin now. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read chapter 2, you'll find out where God said over and over again, he said, you will not escape the judgment of God. He said, you're not going to do it. Don't even think, and that's the word he used, don't even think that you can. You will not escape the judgment of God. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same. Now listen. folks out living like, listen, living like the devil himself. And if we're not careful, what we'll say is, I cannot believe that that person did that. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know what Paul said here? Look at the way verse 32 ends. It describes us. We're not only okay with people doing wrong in our day, we give them awards for it. Read it. They go by globe, what's it called? Golden Globe or something like that. Golden Globe. I tell you what, if you can be an actor and you get on TV and you commit adultery with a bunch of people, we'll give you an award. You use God's name 50 times, we'll give you an award for it. Right? We'll call you up on stage where everybody can clap and say, yay! We'll give you an award for it. That's what he said. Read it. It says, not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure. Boy, we're glad that they got that award. What'd they do? Well, they killed about 50 people in a movie, choked the life out of them, slit their throat, and blew their head off. It's great acting. Let's give them the award this year. And as if that wasn't enough, this one here didn't quite kill as many people or jump in bed with as many, so we're going to give them the supporting cast. We're in bad shape. We're in bad shape. You say, preacher, I don't like this. Yeah, I know. When you get close to home, it does get a little uneasy. What's going on in your home? What's going on in your private time? What kind of thoughts are circulating in your mind? What kind of private life are you living that no one knows about? About ready for everybody to know about that? I'm going to close with this, and I know you're glad about that. See, this is the bad news. Paul didn't, listen, don't get angry at the preacher now. Paul wrote this. I'm just telling you what Paul wrote. This is what God said. God said, I see what you're doing. I see all of this stuff that's going on. God said, I see every bit of it. And he said, you go ahead and make your excuses. Turn over to chapter 3 now. He said, go ahead. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what the best thing for you is. And I want you to listen carefully now. This is where a lot of folks get in trouble. So right now, the Holy Spirit of God has put his finger on some things in some people's lives. And the very next thing you're going to try to do is say, well, at least my sin's not like their sin. I don't agree with what that preacher said because of this and that. Well, I just said what the Bible said. And Paul said, I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do. All right? He said in chapter 3, verse number 10, he says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. He said, you may as well go ahead and just realize now, you're no better than anyone else. You're not a saint either. You're a sinner that needs to be saved. And if you're saved, you're a sinner that has been saved. That's what he's saying. And then he said this in verse number 19. He said, if you're not saved, he said, here's the best thing you can do. So if you're here today and you're not saved, I'm going to give you some really good biblical advice. All right? Look at verse number 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You see that? So here's the advice that the Apostle Paul's given. Paul's saying, no excuses. Stop it. Just stop it. Yeah, but at least what I do is not my... Stop it. Yeah, but what my neighbor did, boy, you should have seen how terrible that was. Stop it. You're not going to answer for your neighbor. Stop it. Is that what he said? That every mouth may be stopped. Yeah, but you should have seen what Devin did. Devin's going to answer for Devin. Stop it. Don't excuse your sin. Confess it. You with me? But in America, here we are. Everybody's making excuses. My parents, my teacher, my employer, my, I don't know, whatever. Right? No, you're a sinner because you choose to be. So what are we going to do, preacher? Man, that is bad news. We're in bad shape. Well, thank God. God has made a way that we can have forgiveness of our sin. And it's not by coming to church. I thank God people come to church. I love the church. Some of the greatest decisions, some of the greatest things ever happened to me happened in the church house. You can stand to your feet. But going to church is not going to get you to heaven. It's just not. It's just not. And I don't say that to discourage you from coming to church. Keep coming. But going to church doesn't get you to heaven. So, well, I'm going to stop. That's it. I'm through with smoking. I'm stopping smoking. That's not going to get you to heaven. That's not going to get you to heaven. I'm through with all this profanity. I mean it. I'm quitting. I make a vow today. No more profanity. Well, I think that's a good decision to make. But that's not going to get you to heaven. Only one way to heaven. And Abraham found it. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That our father Abraham, according to the flesh, hath found? He found if you believe what God said and do it, you can have his grace. Amen. Amen. Because Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you believe what God says? But it all begins with believing what God says about your sin. Right? And then you can believe what God says about how you can be saved. But until you believe what God says about your sin, you're not going to be ready to accept what God says that you need to do about being saved. So that's why Paul started with the sin. Do you believe what God says about your sin? That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? There's none of us righteous. No, not one. Well, if we'll just close our mouths, don't make excuses, and say, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of what you said I'm guilty of. I'm a sinner. What can I do? Now you're ready to be saved. Would you bow your head for me just for a moment? I was a little longer today than I intended to be, but I believe I preached what God told me to.